Hi, welcome back to the Incidental Economist podcast. Today's date is September 23rd, 2011. I'm Aaron Carroll.
And I'm Austin Fracht.
And today we're going to talk about cost shifting. One of the things that comes up a lot whenever people try to save money out of the healthcare system, more specifically with respect to health insurance, is that they find ways to reduce cost, and it looks good on paper, but it winds up that it's just somebody else paying the bill, and sometimes the overall cost to society can be even more. But this is one of those areas where I think Austin has a ton to contribute, and he's certainly taught me a lot. So why don't I kick it over to you to just get us going?
Okay. Well, there's the cost shifting is actually a term that's used for many different things, and it's easy to get confused about when the evidence supports the existence of it and when it doesn't. So I've published on cost shifting, but the type of cost shifting that I've studied, and at least studied the literature, is the idea that if, say, Medicare or Medicaid, you know, one of the big public payers of healthcare, reduce the prices they pay for healthcare, say for hospital services, you know, they reduce what they reimburse to hospitals, then the argument goes, the cost shifting argument goes, a hospital's just going to turn around and jack up the prices to private payers, and that's private insurers is what I mean by that, and that would in turn increase premiums that many of us pay, and you'll hear this argument repeatedly. It's either made explicitly or it's just kind of slipped in. Things like, you know, when Medicare rates go down, of course that just shifts costs to the private sector. You'll hear people say that all the time. And related, people say, you know, all the care we provide to the uninsured, if it's uncompensated or if it's reimbursed at a low rate, that's just, you know, the money has to come from somewhere, so it's coming out of our higher premiums. That's cost shifting. I want to make a distinction between that kind of cost shifting between you know, two payers towards, say, a hospital, and the kind of cost shifting that's come up in this, for example, in this idea of increasing the Medicare eligibility age, where if Medicare doesn't pay for the care for, say, 65 and 66-year-olds, that will, quote, shift costs to other payers. And that's actually a different kind of cost shifting because that's not mediated through like a hospital. That's just saying, you know, the individuals who would otherwise be on Medicare, if they get coverage somewhere else, like in the private sector or out of pocket, they or that private entity is going to pay more because Medicare rates are relatively low. That's not saying that Medicare rates going down cause private rates to go up. It's just saying you're getting your insurance from some other entity or some other way.
But why is this all bad? I mean, you know, just playing sort of the naive question. Like, you know, it sounds, for instance, when Paul Ryan put forth his plan, there were huge reductions in the cost of Medicare. I mean, on the order of trillions of dollars over a decade. So obviously that's a phenomenal thing. And, you know, they say it's not going to reduce in anything, you know, bad happening in terms of quality. So obviously it's a big money saver, right?
Well, it would save money for the federal government, yes. As we've gone over, was it just last week? I can't remember now. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago when we talked about increasing the Medicare eligibility age. You know, you can save the federal government money, but that doesn't necessarily save the system money. So, any kind of cost shifting, if it's to be believed, if it actually exists or occurs, and there's debate over that, that means you're just kind of squeezing, you know, at one end, and it pops out the other end. You haven't actually globally saved any money. So it, you know, it depends whether there is cost shifting and at what rate. You know, how much is actually shifted.
So it feels to me like the whole thing is just sort of saying, and it makes totally sense from just a common sense perspective, that there's no free lunch, that if you save money over here, it's very likely that it's going to cost you money over there, that this isn't nearly as easy as everybody makes it out to be.
Well, I used to believe that, and I still believe it in the second sense I raised, where if you don't insure someone one way, say on Medicare, and they get insurance another way, say in the private system, it's just shifting of costs from one payer to another. That I don't know anybody would say that that's not going to happen. But the kind of cost shifting that has a literature that I reviewed that suggests it's not as big as you'd think is this idea that hospitals or other providers will just jack up rates to one type of payer if another one reduces them. And that's intuitive to a lot of people. Is it intuitive to you? Do you buy it?
Well, I actually have bought the sort of the idea that whenever if Medicare all of a sudden decides it's going to pay less money, that sort of it's going to be a trickle down thing where everyone is going to take a cut. That sort of physicians will take a cut, nurses will take a cut, hospitals will take a cut, drug companies will take a cut, and the other insurance companies will take a cut because everyone's going to have to blame it. I've never believed somehow that the hospital or the doctor's office is such a perfect market that they can figure out if I'm going to get X amount of money less from Medicare that I will magically increase the amount that I'm going to bill private insurance over here by the exact same amount to recoup all of my losses. So
well, you have really good intuition because actually, if you presume that many of these entities, hospitals, drug companies, physician groups, if you presume that they're trying to maximize profit or maximize revenue as just a model for how they behave, mm-hmm. then if you play that out, what it means is if Medicare pays less, they're going to want to increase their revenue from sources that pay more, like private payers. And in order to do that, they'd have to serve fewer Medicare patients to the extent that they could control that. So just see fewer Medicare patients or provide less service to each patient they see and see more, say, privately insured patients. And in order to attract more privately insured patients, this is just supply and demand. This is like basic economics. In order to attract more of them, they actually have to lower the prices they charge to the privately insured mm-hmm. or private insurers as well. So there you get it's not a cost shift. It's actually the overall level comes down because if one payer goes down in order to attract a relatively higher payment from another payer, they have to sweeten the deal for them too. So that was your intuition, and that's exactly what you would expect in a market where the providers are trying to maximize their profit.
See, I'm smarter than I thought, even.
Yeah. No, it's very good. But it's not what you'll hear from the hospital industry or even the insurance industry. They will claim a relatively large cost shifting. They will say, no, if Medicare, if you cut our rates, we're just going to shift those costs to private payers. We'll either shift them dollar for dollar. These claims at that level have been made. Or some will say, okay, half of it gets shifted.
Right.
In fact, I'll say this somewhat incorrectly and we can come back, but in fact, the majority of studies show, good economic studies that I've reviewed, show that there is little to no cost shifting. Perhaps it is as high as 20 cents on the dollar.
Okay.
But, and in one study that I think is good, from one time period, it was as high as dollar for dollar. And so how do you explain all these different studies? And how you explain them is what era they were investigating, because the nature of the hospital market and the insurance market has changed dramatically over time, and also the nature of the policy regime under which they're operating. And it really matters. What we're talking about is how hospitals and insurers set prices. In terms of setting those prices, it really matters what the nature of the market is and what the nature of the policy regime is. And that's changed over time. So you can look at different time periods and say, well, in that time period, cost shifting more readily occurred, and I can explain why. And in some other time period, it didn't occur at all, and I can also explain why. So one has to be careful about what time period or the nature of the market one is looking at.
It's also interesting because I've never understood sort of this belief that hospitals can just dictate to private payers, hey, we just got screwed by Medicare, so now you're going to pay us 50% more, and somehow the private insurance company is just going to do it.
Well, in order to do that, in order to just jack up rates kind of unilaterally, what they have to have in reserve is a degree of market power that they haven't exploited before. But, you know, when
if but, that, I, but why wouldn't they have exploited it? I mean, it's exactly. Like you have to be a stupid hospital system not to have already exploited it to the maximum of your ability. I mean, it's like everybody seems to believe that somehow, like, everyone's leaving money on the table that's previously, that now they can go, it just makes no sense.
Well, so under profit maximization, it doesn't make sense and it wouldn't exist. However, you can make a credible argument, and like I said, some studies do show some cost shifting, so the arguments of the following form are credible, are believable, that not all hospitals maximize profits. And the reason why they wouldn't is that they have other ambitions. You know, their goals aren't entirely to maximize profit. They could be to provide, you know, some amount of charity care.
Agreed. I agree. Yes.
Yeah. And some have even argued that hospitals are not monoliths, and they actually, you know, they're run by or governed by boards in many cases, and that they actually don't have many of them well-defined, you know, objectives, and many are nonprofit or they just, you know, they're just kind of pushed and pulled in various directions, and they're just not clear on what they're trying to do. And if you believe that hospitals are not maximizing profits or maybe even maximizing anything, then maybe they do have market power in reserve, at least sometimes, and then occasionally they can go to that. And actually, the empirical evidence suggests that they, in certain circumstances, can do that, and they have, but at a relatively low rate, with the exception of the late 1980s. No other credible study has showed a cost shift rate greater than 20 cents on the dollar, which means if Medicare cuts costs $1, maybe 20 cents of that shows up in higher payments from private insurance companies. And the other 80 cents is cost cutting. So you have cost shifting and cost cutting, and the majority of it tends to be cost cutting. So when Medicare reduces prices, hospitals cut their costs. You know, cutting costs has consequences. It could harm patient care. Could, you know, lead. It depends how the costs are cut.
Sure.
So that's what you expect.
Yeah, it's just. I mean, it's one of those where it makes total sense when you explain it, and yet somehow, when people talk about this at a national level, common sense seems to just fly out the window, and it becomes just.
Well, it depends who's talking.
Well, I guess I don't know why I'm surprised. It seems like that's the case with everything.
It depends who's doing the talking, right? It's in the interest of hospitals and insurers to find every argument that sounds credible to keep Medicare payments high, right? I mean, hospitals would certainly love to get higher Medicare payments. Insurers probably like that too, just because it. Maybe they believe the cost shifting argument, so it takes some of the pressure off. They say, or it's actually a difficult question if they don't believe the cost shifting argument, why they would continue to push it. Maybe it's just to defeat. And sometimes it's just to try to defeat maybe what they view as sort of creeping socialism, you know, horning in on their business.
So are there like any time periods where we saw different amounts or different trends in how cost shifting works?
Yeah, so there were, I'll just talk about two time periods. I've written a paper where I've carved up the last 30 years into like five different eras, but two kind of illustrate the main points. So there's one era in the late 1980s, you know, from about, you know, 86 to, you know, the turn of the decade, 1990, 1991 or so. And during that period, Medicare was tightening its payments to hospitals. You know, the Medicare prospective payment system had been fully phased in by that point, and Congress was using Medicare as a piggy bank, really, as a source of funding to reduce deficits, and so hospital payment to cost ratios were going down during that period, and that's the period many people might know before health insurers really had much leverage over hospitals and physicians. They basically just paid whatever the going rate was. They didn't establish networks, meaning they didn't sort of selectively choose physicians and hospitals to be in their network and try to exclude those with high prices. So they were just kind of pretty weak, kind of, you know, sort of pass through entities where they just paid whatever the going rate was and just passed it through as higher premiums. So So hospitals had relative strength in terms of negotiating, and insurers were very weak. And so in that period, that was the sort of the golden period of cost shifting. And there is a good study by David Cutler out there that shows that cost shifting was like a dollar for dollar then. So if one is basing one's thinking on cost shifting from that period, you'd think cost shifting, you know, it's just what happens. And really what was happening was hospitals were ramping up their exploitation of their market power, and insurers just couldn't resist. So then the story goes that employers kind of started to get fed up, and they wanted some way to keep their costs down, you know, their costs of healthcare and the healthcare premiums that they were paying as employee benefits. So they started adopting and accepting managed care, and insurers were happy to offer it. And you know, the HMO came to the fore, and more people were enrolled in HMOs. And what these managed care type plans do is really two things, only one of which is relevant to the story. One thing is to try to manage care a little bit, but the other is to manage their network, you know, so to actually start negotiating seriously with hospitals, physicians, and you know, pharmaceutical manufacturers and so forth, and saying, you know, no, we're going to exclude you from our network or charge a higher rate to our policyholders, a higher copayment, if you don't keep your costs down. And they start to be effective in terms of bringing down, at least relative to trend, bringing down premiums and payments to hospitals. And so in that period, all the studies showed no cost shifting. So what the overall story is you have to look at the relative market power of hospitals and insurers, and that is what dictates whether there can be any cost shifting. Plenty more on the blog, of course, on this topic. There's even a
Absolutely.
FAQ entry.
All right. I think that's as good a place as any to end it. Thank you for listening once again. This is the Incidental Economist Podcast with Aaron Carroll and Austin Frack. We'll see you next week.